Hallelujah. Hey, I'm Pastor Dan Shett, one of the pastors here at Gloria Day. It is such a joy and an honor to have you choosing Gloria Day as your place of worship this Easter Sunday. I was given a meme by my daughter, but then I was told by Mark Bakke, and I told him I'd call him out. He posted on my Facebook page yesterday, so I didn't give him credit first service, so here goes. Story of the conversation between Pontius Pilate and Joseph of Arimathea. Pontius Pilate says to Joseph, "Joseph, I really don't understand. You're one of the richest men in the region. You spent a small fortune on a new tomb for your family, and you want to give it to this guy named Jesus." Joseph of Arimathea responds, "Yeah, it's just for the weekend." Couldn't resist. I want to remind you where we've been. Hope had died in the hearts of those around Jesus that Friday afternoon. They saw Jesus die from that cross. They mourned Friday evening, Friday night, all day Saturday, and early Sunday morning. These women are coming to the tomb to finish the job of burying Jesus. There wasn't sufficient time after the crucifixion to prepare his body for the sleep of death, so they would be the ones who would clean up his body. They would prepare his body, anoint his body. They would be the ones, the last ones, to touch his face and close his eyes. And in their grief-stricken days, they hadn't even figured out the logistics of what they were about to do. Who's going to move the stone? I'd like to use Matthew chapter 28 this morning at that gospel account of the resurrection. So here are these words from Matthew 28. "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And the fear of him, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." In the midst of this great fear, in the midst of incredible grief, these ladies are walking to the tomb. They experience an earthquake. They see the angel of the Lord descending from heaven, his appearance like lightning, the guards paralyzed with fear, so much they appear to be dead, the stone is rolled away, and the angel of the Lord is just kind of casually sitting on top of the stone. And I'm trying to figure out, what kind of posture did he have? Was he like, you know, a little Plato thing? Was he just kind of... And the angel says to the women in verse 5, "Do not be afraid." Are you kidding me? I've been through an earthquake. I see an angel of the Lord descending, and you're talking to me right now. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Okay, angel, where's Jesus? Verse 6, "He's not here. For he is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." And with one swift glance into that empty tomb, their lives would be forever and instantly and eternally changed. They really didn't truly grasp what was going on, though. The angel tells the women, "Y'all don't need to be afraid." He said, "Y'all." I just want y'all to know that, you know. Probably said all y'all because it was plural. "Hey, y'all. There's no reason to fear. The one whom you are looking for is not here. He has risen. So come on in. Come on in. Check it out. Just as he told you, come and see." So Mary and the other Mary, they bend down. They walk into the tomb. It's just like the angel said. And you got to wonder, what's going through their minds that moment? What are they feeling? You know, do they peek in? Do they stick around for a while? Do they touch the linen? Do they stand in disbelief? What's going on? Do they hug? Do they high five, fist bump, whatever? The angel continues, verse 7. "Now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is gone before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So what's the angel's message? Come and see. Go and tell. Don't be afraid. And how do these ladies respond? Verse 8. This verse, I've never seen this till this This is cool. So they departed quickly from the tomb, how? With fear and great joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. How does that work? Fear and great joy. Let me ask you, have you ever found yourself a place in a season of life unable to enjoy life or find joy in your life because you're allowing fear to rule over you? Now, fear is a powerful emotion. It impacts everyone. And fears can be highly individualized in practice. Sensible and rational fear for one person can seem absurd and ridiculous to somebody else. Some fears arise from past experiences. Others fester and grow. People may grow out of one fear and simultaneously grow into another fear. But here's what fear does. It can cause us to live with constant dread. It has the ability to paralyze us, keep us stuck, prevent us from living a life fully alive in God's grace. I mean, this isn't a shocker to y'all. We live in uncertain times. It's crazy to me. There is breaking news every 30 seconds. Something else happening in our world, in politics, in entertainment, in our local community, wherever. And here's what happens. Because of our fears, it causes us to continue watching that news channel. Fear causes us to vote for a particular candidate or a political party. Fear causes us to worry. It raises blood pressure. It causes us to be irritable, irrational, and even withdrawn. And fear can cause us to shrink in the face of opposition. Steer clear of any new opportunities or challenges that might actually be a blessing to us. Because much of what we hear in this world tells us to be afraid. Fear sells, y'all. We hear over and over, you should be afraid. Because if you're afraid, you need to buy this product, this thing, whatever it may be. Or you need to do this or say that. But the problem is, the fears are still there. You see, fears can prevent us from living with joy, with love, with peace, which is why I think verse 8 is so important for us to remember that on this Easter story, this resurrection day, we experience the miracle of the resurrection and God's word to us, to a risen Savior who says, don't be afraid. That's like saying, don't think of a pink elephant right now, okay? Don't think of one. You're gonna do it. But look at, we'll talk about what that means. Verse 9, and behold, Jesus, this is when women are leaving with fear and great joy. Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, but go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. See, I would contend that Easter is not only the antidote to our fears, but a reason to live with joy. That's what today is all about. So my question that I was asking as I studied this text, how do we live with joy in the presence of fear? To me, it's a song that Omar sang right before the sermon. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. That we can have faith over fear. Our perspectives, instead of focusing on fears, we shift our focus to the source of strength from God. The angel's message to the women that day were very clear, but their words for us as well. Don't be afraid. It's time to put your fears, your worries, your grief, your pain away. Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, we have the opportunity to live in the midst of fear with joy. How is that possible? We don't erase our fears, but they're transformed when we look to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. These ladies were fearful. They were grieving. All was lost. I don't blame them. Their minds were completely on death. But the angel of the Lord is talking about life. There's so many times we focus on all the bad things in our life. So many times we think about how everything's going to fall apart, and we forget about the joy of the Lord is our strength. They expected to find, they're focusing on a dead body. They're focusing on anointing his body. And instead, they find an empty tomb, a heavenly revelation, an encounter with Jesus. But twice in this gospel, they're told, don't be afraid. Again, it is only through the presence of a risen Jesus that those fears that we have are transformed into joy. So think about it. Maybe you're struggling to have some joy in your life. I get it. Things are rough. Things are tough. Things are not working out like you planned. And because they're not working out like you planned, you're afraid of the future. You're not getting paid what you're worth, so you're afraid of your financial situation. Your health is declining, so you're fearful of what that means for your family. Someone you deeply love and called home to heaven, you're afraid, how am I going to do this alone? Your financial situation has become incredibly difficult, and you start freaking out, oh my gosh, how am I going to make this work? You're driven by fear. There's so many other things. And maybe you're asking yourself in those moments, why should I keep on? What's the use? Why don't I just quit? Let me give you the reason. The tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, and he's at work in our lives. See, Christ's death was a cause of fear. Christ's triumphant resurrection transforms those fears to be a source and a cause for joy. You see, Jesus died so that we could live. He took our place. He accepted the death that we deserve. Why? So we can live with him forever. And so because of his sacrifice, our lives don't end in death, which is why we can celebrate. Not because he was crucified, but because he rose. Yeah, he took away our sins on the cross. In the resurrection, he declares victory over sin, death, and the evil one. It is the very source of the foundation for the joy we can have in him. So I want to bring this all together. I'm going to try something rather unconventional. It's either going to be great or it's going to bomb. I'm going to be a hero or a zero, okay? I was challenged by Derek Brady, our traditional director of traditional worship, way before Ash Wednesday about doing this. And at the time, it sounded like a really great idea. About last week, I said, how's this going to work? So what I want to try this morning is I want to connect Easter to Christmas by using a familiar Christmas carol, Joy to the World. And yes, we're going to sing it. And we're going to sing it with joy. I'm not confusing my holidays, because I would argue that while Joy to the World is labeled as a Christmas carol, guys, we're still going to sing it at Christmas. I just promise you, okay? Don't send me an email. While it's labeled as a Christmas carol, it really only has one line in the entire carol that is tied to the birth of Christ. It really talks more about the joy that we can have in our lives throughout the year. So let's try this. Here we go. The first line, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. If there is ever a reason for us to celebrate, it's the arrival of Jesus now as King Easter Sunday. With hope all gone on Good Friday, Easter, the Lord comes out of the grave, shows up victoriously over sin, death, the evil one. And there's incredible joy in the presence of a resurrected Jesus. He goes that evening to the disciples who are scared. They're locked behind, they're hiding behind a locked door. There's joy when Jesus is walking to these guys on the road to Emmaus and they figure out who he is, like, whoa! There's Peter that Jesus had a little breakfast meeting with and forgave him for denying him three times. And not only does this first line reference the birth of Christ, but also when he's going to come again in all power, glory, and might. Not as a babe of Bethlehem, but as a King of Kings the Lord of Lords, to bring us to himself, where there will now be no weeping or crying, no more tears, but only joy in the presence of the Lord for eternity. You see, Easter proclaims the triumphant arrival of our Lord as King, the one who came to dwell among us, to walk the earth in human form, and ultimately to conquer our sin and death. The resurrection of Jesus marks the fulfillment of God's promise to send a Savior, bringing joy to a world lost in darkness and despair. As we celebrate Easter, we can rejoice in the reality of Emmanuel, God with us. The song continues on. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Through his victory over death, Jesus establishes his kingdom of righteousness, of peace, of joy. We acknowledge him as Jesus, our king. We receive his love and grace through faith and allow King Jesus to rule in our hearts, to reign in our hearts, which then transforms our lives, permeates every aspect of our existence to move away from fear and live in joy. Joy to the earth. The Savior reigns. The resurrection of Jesus inaugurates his eternal reign of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then there's that line, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. All creation joins in celebration of the new life found in Christ. What I love about Easter, it corresponds with the springtime. The fields, not the floods, but the rocks, the hills, the plains, your yard, your bushes, your trees, your azaleas for most of y'all, not me, are blooming. They're popping with new blooms and blossoms for the spring. No more let sin and sorrow grow. In the resurrection of Jesus, our sin is forgiven. Our sorrow and guilt are removed. Let's live with joy. Nor thorns infest the ground. This is really cool. A reference to the consequence of sin. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was consequences for the sin. Look what God told Adam, the consequences for his sin. Verse 17, and to Adam God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. I have weeds in my yard because of Adam. I am going to talk to that boy when I get to heaven. Adam and Eve sinned, they disobeyed God's command, and they destroyed that perfect relationship between the Creator and creation. Thorns in the ground are a consequence of their sin. But think about this. The soldiers fastened a crown of thorns on Jesus' head taken from the ground. The thorns from the ground, the consequences from our sin, are placed on his head, and by his wounds, we are healed. The thorns that were brought into existence because of our sin, Jesus takes away because of his great love for us. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. The curse has been removed. Galatians 3 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He shatters the chains of sin, breaks the cycle of despairs, takes the curse upon himself, and offers us blessings of new life and abundant joy. How does the carol end? He rules the world with truth and grace through the wonders of his love. He comes in this world full of grace, full of truth. And in his resurrection, we live victoriously, free from guilt, fear, and shame, with a joy that surpasses all understanding, that can sustain us through every trial, even triumphs. There's some of you here today who need to hear this. You're carrying around some kind of sin, some kind of guilt, some kind of shame, and you're living in fear you're going to be found out, or whatever it may be. I want you to know there is not a thing you have done, there is not a thing that God can't forgive. It's time to put away the fear. It's time to start living in joy. For God so loved every one of you unconditionally that he gave his own son. And whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life for you. You see, one final thought. In John 15, Jesus said these words, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." You see, on this Resurrection Sunday, the day Jesus proclaimed victory over our fears, over evil, over death, Jesus comes to us this morning as Emmanuel and says, "My children, my child, I have come to be with you. But I also want to live in you. And as I live in you, allow me to transform your fears into my joy so that my joy will be yours. And as you live in my presence, you will experience joy and what it means to live fully alive in God's grace. Christ is risen. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. To God alone be the glory.